Thank you for joining us on History FM Radio on liveparanormal.com and history.fm. From paranormal to the unexplained history, it all happens here. Looking to enhance your radio experience? Participate in live interactive chat 24/7 with our radio show hosts and other like-minded people on www.liveparanormal.com, the only interactive social chat room supported by full interactive media. Stop by now and join in on the fun.
The views expressed here within the programs and chats do not necessarily represent the views of liveparanormal.com.
You're listening to Live Paranormal Radio at liveparanormal.com. You are listening to Shriekfest Radio.
Good evening. Welcome to Shriekfest Radio. This is Denise Gossett. I am your hostess for the night. I'm also the festival founder and director. Shriekfest is a horror, thriller, sci-fi, fantasy film festival and screenplay competition. We just celebrated our 16th year, our sweet 16th year, and it was a lot of fun. Met some amazing people, saw some wonderful films. Yeah, so if you missed out, check out our website, shriekfest.com. You can see trailers and stuff from the films. Some of the films will be online. A lot of them are getting distribution, so definitely look those up because you missed some great films. So because there have been a ton of requests for me to open call for entries, I finally gave in and opened call for entries. We are not on Without a Box or Film Freeway quite yet. However, this is good for you guys because you could just submit, email us with our entry form from our website, and it'll be cheaper because, you know, they take a cut of everything. So we lower the price when you do it directly through our website. So let's see. We're going into our sexy and 17th year. Shriekfest Radio has been on the air for... 4.5 years. I've been hosting it for 4 of those years. We have a monthly newsletter that goes out. You can sign up for it at our website, shriekfest.com. We're on Twitter. We're on Facebook. Come give us a follow. Come give us a like. We'd appreciate that. It's looking like Shriekfest 2017 will be October 5th through the 8th. So mark those dates. If you have something to submit, get it in. It looks like we're going to be adding a new category this year, which is kind of exciting. I mean, we've always had it, but we've never had anything that completely focused on this. Music videos. I know there's a lot of bands out there. I know there's a lot of people who get their start in directing by doing music videos. So we thought we'd have a category this year that focuses on them. So get your short films, short scripts, feature scripts, and, of course, those music videos in. The earlier you do it, the better the price. And the first cutoff date is February 1st, so you have a little bit of time. Tell Santa that you want to submit your project to Shriekfest this year, and that's what you want for Christmas. Let's see, tonight's call-in number, if you have any questions for myself or for my awesome guest, is 347-202-0316, 347-202-0316. If you are shy and would rather not be on the air, you can always email at shriekfest.com or tweet something at Shriekfest, and I will periodically glance at those, make sure we get all your questions answered. So it's looking like Shriekfest this year will be October 5th through the 8th. I think I may have just said that, but mark those calendars. This is a reminder. So I am absolutely thrilled to be bringing on my guest tonight, Russ Emanuel. He is a director amongst many other things. We're going to be chatting with him about all this stuff. He took home the 2016 Best Sci-Fi Feature Film Award with his feature film Occupants. And if you did not see it, we're going to find out from him where you can see it, because it is an awesome movie. And I am proud to welcome Russ to the show. Hello, Russ. How are you?
Hi, good. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can. Can you hear me?
Hey, yeah, I can hear you. Okay. Hey, how you doing?
I'm doing great. It's great to hear your voice. It's been a while.
Yeah, it has been a while. I want to thank you for having me on your show. I really do appreciate it.
Oh, gosh. I'm thrilled. I'm really, really excited to catch up, because I know that you've been doing quite a few things since Shriekfest happened. But first,
yeah.
I want to find out, how did you get into this industry? Where did you grow up, and like, what? How did you get bitten by this industry bug?
Well, I was born in Alameda, California. That's a suburb of San Francisco, and I moved around a lot, as a child, between Japan and the United States. So I got a very international point of view on life.
Why did you move so much?
My dad was in. He was working for a hay company. Hay is like, you know, what cows eat. And Japan, they have a love for beef, like Kobe beef and milk, but they don't have the resource. So they got my dad, his company sent him over to Japan, basically. So that's why we were in Japan. But yeah, it was a very, 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 very interesting childhood. And one thing that I grew up with was composer John Williams.
Oh.
And his music really inspired me. I think I was watching like Superman, and I'm talking the Richard Donner version.
Sure.
And just listening to his music, you know, John Williams' iconic score, it just, I could feel it, you know.
Wow.
And that's why I got
into
the film.
Oh my gosh, that is
really
interesting. So, did you? I mean, I'm looking at your credits on IMDb, and holy smokes, like you've done everything you can possibly do on a set. You've done it all, from producing, directing, writing, editing, down to the soundtrack and set decorating and costume design.
Well, you know, when you start on your own projects or on other people's projects, you know, you kind of learn the ropes.
Sure.
And then when you do like a role I'm doing now, which is directing, then when you talk to your costumer, then you know what he or she is going to expect, because you've sort of tried to do that before, so you got that experience. And I think that's why I did all that, just to get an experience. And
yeah.
I realized that I was better suited at directing than I was at, let's say, producing. So if you noticed, my producing credits got sparser and sparser.
Right,
I was focusing mostly on directing. But, yeah, you know, I was learning the ropes, just feeling around, just, you know, try to see what clicked. And it was directing.
I love it. I love that you made a point to do basically everything, because like you said, now you can have a better conversation with whatever department it is, because you've been there, you know the frustrations of that particular job. And I think that's wonderful. I think everybody should try to get involved in every category.
Yeah, I mean, it helps. I was also a PA, which is a production assistant on other films. So I understand, you know, what PAs, let's say, what PAs would go through on Occupants, or I just did this new film called The Assassin's Apprentice. And, you know, I don't want, you know, I want to treat everybody as equals, if you will. I want, because everybody is necessary to make the product happen. You know, whether it's in pre-production, production, or post-production, or even publicity, like yours truly is doing for me, so I do appreciate it. I mean, it's a process, and, you know, everybody is important. And I think that's how I go about directing, you know. I treat everybody as family. I want all of us to have a good time. I mean, it doesn't always happen, you know. I mean, it's
right.
also kind of a business. But at the same time, you know, you want people to enjoy themselves on set, you know, to, you know, just have that movie magic, to quote a cliche. You know, I want it
right.
to be magical, right? I want
right.
that experience for everybody. So I think that happened on Occupants. I really do, you know, and I think that may be why it helped to make the film what it is, because of that really wonderful experience we had on set. And we had some great experiences. And, you know, it was a tough shoot, but we had wonderful times, too. And I think it helped.
You know, it's very obvious watching it that, you know, whatever you did, whatever, you know, they say the energy trickles down, which is would have started with you, that it was there, this great energy, because, you know, your two leads, the chemistry is just phenomenal. And I'm not sure it would have worked if that hadn't been there.
Yeah, I mean, Brianna White, she played Annie Curtis in Parallel Annie Curtis, and Michael Pugliese, he played Neil Curtis in Parallel Neil Curtis. They only met a couple days before the shoot, and it's because we auditioned Brianna. We had already cast Michael like a month or so before, but we
okay.
auditioned and cast Brianna on, I think it was September 19th, and we shot on September 24th. So what I did was, between the 19th and the 24th was a weekend. And I asked both of them to just meet up, you know, grab some coffee, just get to know each other, you know, just, you know, learn each other's mannerisms, you know, just,
sure.
just, you know, just hang around, you know. And, you know, I mean, they both have, you know, mutual spouses. But, you know, I mean, they're playing a role where, you know, they're married, right? So I said,
right.
just, you know, just learn each other, you know, learn about each other. So, and we had a prep day, which was the 23rd of September. We shot the next day. And I had them come on set, and we did a line reading, and I had them look at each of the rooms so they could get acquainted with the space. So they had an idea of,
wow.
you know, what we were going to do. So, I, you know, that's what I do to try to, I guess, prep my actors. I also gave them a backstory, you know, which never made it into the film. But it's a backstory nonetheless. You know, it
sure.
helps
well,
to,
it does.
I guess,
it makes
yeah.
it in even though you don't realize it.
Yeah, yeah, that's right. I mean, it just it helps to flesh out the characters, so they're not cardboard
mm-hmm.
characters. They're
sure.
actually real people. And, you know, and of course I also listen, so I value their opinions. And it's not just the actors, but also the crew. You know, I make the final decision, yes. But I want the most natural performance. I want the best compositional the shots. So I would, you know, ask my DP, Emil Harris, you know, what about this? And he's like, well, if we station the camera here, then, you know, I mean, here's what the shot is going to look like, and then you're going to be able to get a good lighting out there. And then, you know, so I value everybody's expertise.
Right.
And, of course, Brianna and Michael, though, they just have natural talent. That really helps, you know.
Yeah.
They really, really do. I mean, when Brianna was Parallel Annie and she stared at me, this was like day 8, because we shot the
uh-huh.
first 7 days as a real couple and the last 3 as the Parallel.
Okay.
She looked at me and I freaked out because I'm going, oh gosh, that's Parallel Annie. Then she smiled and became Brianna. I'm like, phew, I'm okay.
Oh, that is hilarious. So 11-day shoot, huh?
It was 11 days total, yeah. It was
wow.
very fun. I have very fond memories of this. Of this film.
That's a really quick shoot for a feature.
Yeah, and I think it's because we were shooting in one location with two actors. I mean, we had Robert Picardo of Star Trek Voyager also, but he was in the supporting. So you had like two main actors, one house, interior, and the cameras are mostly static. Now, that could be a recipe for disaster. It could be, you know. I mean, it could be such the most boring film in the world. You know, what can you do with that? Well, luckily, you know, we were the script by Julia Camera. I mean, it's just fantastic. It was found
yeah.
by the producer Howard Nash. I mean, Julia, I love Julia, and she's writing
yeah,
Occupants
she's
2 right now. She's wonderful.
Oh,
yeah, she's writing
really?
Occupants 2. She is writing Occupants 2.
Go, Julia, keep writing. We're excited to see it. Oh, my gosh. Well,
so,
well, you know,
yeah.
it's really, so how did you and Julia meet up? And, like, did she say, I've got this script, and you read it, and you're like, oh, my gosh, I got to do it? How did it all come together?
Howard Nash, the producer, he found her script, and he optioned
it. Really?
And he approached me, because he optioned several scripts. But he showed me her script, and I'm like, this is really good, Howard. Let's do this.
How did he find it, just for the writers out there curious?
I think it was a company called Inktip.
Ah, yes, Inktip, one of our sponsors.
Ah, there you go. It's a one big circle there. The circle is
yes,
not complete.
It is.
No, it was Inktip. Gerald LeBaron, I think, is the founder's
oh, yes,
name, right?
Gerald. Yes. Mm-hmm.
So
nice.
Howard does this. He finds scripts, and he found this script, and I mean, it was a fantastic script. And I think she agreed to do it because of our connection to Robert Picardo, because I've directed. And Howard, he produced all my films, by the way. So basically, he's the one who knows Robert Picardo. And Julia knew that we've, you know, worked with Robert Picardo on several films. And she's like, okay, if the original role of the doctor in the film was a female. And she said this is one of the only times she switched it to a male role because she wanted to work with Picardo.
Oh, that's funny. Now, so neither you nor him knew Julia.
No, we didn't. And she
and
is somebody.
And you guys all hit it off.
We hit it off. I mean, we've been Julia and I, especially, we've been geeking out, as I call it, on the Comic-Con circuit. We've been going to a lot of Comic-Cons, and it's because we have a Star Trek actor in the film. So San Diego Comic-Con, Phoenix Comic-Con, Florida SuperCon, Rose City Comic-Con, Long Beach Comic-Con. You know,
now, how
family.
Has the reaction been amongst Comic-Con audience?
You know, it's the same actually.
Good.
The reaction, if there are pivotal moments in the film where, you know, people laugh at the right time, or they gasp, you know, in terror at the right time.
Yeah.
And I know you know which moments those are. I cannot really spoil them.
Right. No.
But,
please don't.
But it does catch you by surprise. I mean, I guess Occupants would be a psychological terror film if I were to categorize it, right? And of course, it's science fiction. And thank you for the best sci-fi feature award, by the way. That
Woo-hoo!
Was. Yeah, I'm still staring at it. It's a very fantastic award. And the producer, Howard, by the way, he's like, Russ, when I come over, and he came over for Assassin's Apprentice, he's like, you got to show me that award. So I brought it to him.
Oh, that's great. That's great.
And then he's like, this is heavy.
You know, at least you didn't have to fly anywhere with it. Because I was talking to a few people who had to fly with it, and they're like, yeah, the TSA was very interested in my bag.
I mean, the way it's shaped is it come across in the X-ray. Yeah.
Exactly. They thought, what is that?
No, it's a fantastic award, but yeah, they're going to be like, wait a minute, what is that? Is that real blood?
Right. And is that a blade? You know, and it's so heavy that, you know, you could use it as a weapon if you had to.
Did they have to check it in? I mean, they couldn't carry
it
on there.
They carried it on.
They did?
Yes.
Wow.
And one of the guys, he said that he had gone through the trouble of going through. He had just put it in his bag, and they, of course, stopped him and searched it. And then his flight, he was flying standby, and his flight was canceled. He never made it on. So he had to come back the next day. And this time he knew better. He took it out of the bag, had it by itself, explained right away what it was. I said, oh, God, I'm so sorry. And he's like, no, it was worth it. It was worth it. He says, plus I've got great stories to tell.
I bet. Yeah, I definitely bet. Oh, by the way, yeah, that's the winners. We're all like recalling how heavy it was. You know, it was like, you know, you could lift it like a dumbbell. instead of having weights. You just use
multi-uses,
that.
Weapon, yeah. Weight.
No, and then I asked, you know, I met several people there, right? Really, you know, really wonderful people there, like Chris or Rom. And then I'm like, can you just hold it for a second? And of course, you know, the big joke is they're just going to run away with it. So it's like, yeah, but it was heavy. It's a heavy award just to carry it around, you know. You need to put it down.
Yes, it is. I know. Yeah. I know. We are actually in, because I know you were asking about a second one. We are searching out the guy who made the trophies has recently retired. So now I'm searching out a new company that can make these again from our molds. And it's not been easy because everyone wants to do a new mold, and the new molds are quite expensive. So, but I will keep you posted on that because I know I told you I would.
Oh, thank you.
I haven't forgotten.
No, I appreciate it. Thank you. So
now,
Yeah,
go ahead.
No, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
I was going to say when I first started watching Occupants, you know, of course I'm watching it and I'm thinking, okay, very well done. Acting is clever. Okay, she's a documentarian. They're going to document their eating habits. Okay, where are we going with this? You know, you start to think, okay, where are we going? But then immediately I'm like, yeah, I really like them. They're adorable to watch. And then it, like, takes you on this whole journey that is so interesting. And, of course, Julia's writing and then you're directing. And when you direct, Russ, are you cutting in your head? Like, do you know exactly where you want your cuts?
Well, yes and no. I meant this film was very interesting because, you know, Julia had this question. She's like, Russ, where are you going to cut to? Because it's really one camera that's stationed, right? And all the action takes place in there, in each of the rooms, the living room, the dining room, and the kitchen. She's like, what's the cut point? How do you edit this thing? And then I'm like, the parallel universe. You just glitch over to the parallel universe. So in a sense, yes, I had an idea of when I wanted to cut. At other times, it just happened in the editing. And Emil Harris is the editor. And he did a brilliant job because, you know, he and I guess we just use our sixth sense to try to see what's the most natural. For the editing. And so, you know, part of it is on set and part of it's in post-production when you're with your editor.
Sure. Now, do you feel like because you had all these cameras in this alternate universe that you could – it made things easier or more difficult?
I think the most difficult part, again, was the fact that this wasn't your standard narrative type film. So you couldn't have your close-ups or dolly shots or, you know, establishing.
Mm-hmm.
And that made it challenging. At the same time, it simplified a lot to just have the action stationed in this extreme wide shot. You know, so there are pros and cons to it, I guess. And it made the shoot much easier. I don't think we could have done a standard narrative film like we did in 11 days. I don't think it's possible. But we could do it with this. So this was like the rare exception where it just worked and it clicked. That's what I think.
Yeah. No, it really did. And had you been interested in parallel universes and believed in them or not believed in them?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I grew up on astronomy. I grew up on science. I definitely believe in the multiverse theory. So, yeah, definitely.
Nice.
That's why when
nice.
I saw this, I'm like, this is perfect. And also, you know, one thing I like in my films is duality. And this is a perfect representation of duality right here. You know, two individuals that are the same people but with different life experiences. And, you know, I'm half white and half Japanese, and I grew up both American and Japanese. So I understand the duality. And that's why I think this movie really clicked for me, because I understood these characters. I understand that sometimes, even in my mind, I can have conflicts, you know, between the two cultures, if you will.
Right.
So So for me, you know, it just combined that with the fact that, you know, this parallel universe theory is incredibly fascinating, I think. So I definitely, you know, it clicked for me to do the script.
Sure. We have, I can't tell if this is someone just listening into the show or if we have a caller, so let's check it out.
Okay.
Hi, you're on Shriekfest Radio. What's your name?
This is Eric Brown.
Oh, gosh.
How are you?
Hi, Eric. You guys must know each other.
Well,
Eric,
you know,
Brown.
I know you. You know me, too.
It's the Cosmic Cafe Show.
Oh, yes. Hi,
Eric.
Oh,
no,
Eric. How soon you forget. Oh, my gosh, Denise. You told me
you
I was the
what,
best
though?
Interviewer you've ever had. Or said
you
did.
You know, Eric, I'm not sure you
wine,
ever...
But.
I just don't remember your last name, but of course I remember you, Eric. How are you?
I know. Brown is just like such a plain name.
Yeah, you should be white. You know, like Brianna White.
Exactly. Brown is kind of like, you know, it's like you put the white in the black and you get the brown in the coffee. You know, it's just, yeah.
Oh, boy.
Where are we going here?
I have no idea, but it's definitely the wrong street, and I want to back up.
I think you called the wrong number.
He
yeah,
might have.
Yeah. Is this the duality identity crisis line, by the way?
Yes, yes.
I'm
Can
curious.
We help
Actually,
you?
It is. I guess you did call the right number.
Eric, do you have a question?
Yes, what is the meaning of the parallel life?
Oh.
It's the parallel 42.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome.
Somehow
that's
I knew
that. That's from the Parallel Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy, by the way.
Oh, yes.
Yes. Russ the other day was rattling off all these great little, connections, connecting themes you should ask him about. Well, I could ask him about those. Russ, what are the connecting themes that you
connecting
were rattling
themes?
Off the other? Yeah, like the starts with the poster for a particular person that's in the movie via a poster and then other connections.
Oh, you're talking about Jennifer Durst? Jennifer Durst, who played Evil Hands on the poster? Oh, she's wonderful, yeah. She's also in the new film, The Assassin's Apprentice. No, I mean, you know, working with Jen. I remember Jen, and I don't know if you remember this, Denise. She had her hand interviewed.
Yes, on the
yeah.
river.
That, right?
Yeah. That was the funniest thing.
That was hilarious. Oh, my gosh. Yeah, it was like David and Ty of Nerd Rush. They were, like, interviewing her hand. And the big joke is I keep photobombing. Like, I photobombed
yeah.
Julia Camera's photo with Nichelle Nichols at San Diego Comic-Con.
Yeah.
Anyway, so it seems like I photobombed the interview with a hand.
Yes.
Yeah.
For anyone listening who was not there, she literally had her hand walking on the red carpet, and then people interviewed her finger. It was so funny.
And then Russ Emanuel jumps in and photobombs the hand.
Yes, he did. Those
hand.
Directors, you know.
Yeah, that was evil
you're
Russ. That was parallel Russ who did that.
Yeah,
that was parallel Russ.
You're supposed
oh my
to stay
goodness.
Behind the camera, Russ. Behind the camera.
Well,
Eric, I'm so glad
part.
You called
she
in.
Was, she was on the – oh, thank you, Denise. It's great talking with you again. I know we've been going back and forth on Twitter and on Facebook. And,
yes.
And hopefully other people have been joining in on some of our quips back and forth. And,
yes.
But – I wanted to say about Jennifer, she was on The Assassin's Apprentice helping out, just doing a tremendous job. And I gave her a new nickname that seems to be sticking. It seems to be growing. So do you think it's fair that I say the nickname, Russ?
Yeah, basically, okay, I could say
I
this.
I don't think she would, I don't think she would mind if I said evil hands, right? E-H.
Well, she used her right hand in Occupants. She was
mm-hmm.
the double for Brianna, her hand.
Okay.
That's why it's called Evil Hands. In Assassin's Apprentice, she had a shot where she used her left hand
oh,
pouring
no.
this whiskey. So she became, on that hand, creepy hands. Evil hands and occupants and creepy hands in Assassin's Apprentice.
Oh, now, come on. I'm going to take offense to that because I'm left-handed and I don't like the idea of being creepy.
I'm not talking about your hands. I'm right-handed. Does that mean I'm evil? No, Denise, your hands are beautiful. We're talking about Jennifer's creepy and evil hands.
Oh, that's okay,
too funny.
Her hands are kind of creepy, aren't they?
No, they're not. They're beautiful. No, it worked. You know, I mean, her hands just work so well in occupants. You know, I mean, she just and I was giving her direction. I was saying, okay, just touch that very centrally, like the monitor.
Uh-huh.
I'm serious. No, this is no joke. Because you know,
I wish I was upset for that.
I'm sorry, Eric, but she had to. Well, I mean, in all due seriousness, she had to connect, I guess, to Annie's office, right? I'm sort of giving away the film, I guess, but so I had her basically she was parallel Annie, invading real Annie's space, right? So I had her hand. It was a hand performance, and she was really good. She was really good. She was really good.
What kind of casting job was that again?
Do you want me to say it?
I know where this is
really
going.
It's
not
it,
pretty.
You?
I don't want you to
You
say
really
it,
want me to
you,
see what
you,
kind of job this was? Jeez.
I don't
no,
want you
please,
to, but I know
no.
you. I know
I'm
you,
not
Rusty, gonna
say
you
it.
You probably would.
No.
Everyone else is thinking it right now, though.
I just wish. Let's see. This is being recorded. Wouldn't that be great
I
to
just,
get that sound bite?
I just. I it was
it,
a very. Hand, it was very handy. There you go.
What was that?
Oh gosh.
Oh boy.
But yeah, it was a fun experience, with occupants. It really was. And Eric Brown was very instrumental in post production. To help the publicist.
Oh.
So he's been he's interviewed me several times. He's gone to several of our events. And of course, Shriekfest is one of them.
Sure.
But
how'd
Eric,
you guys meet?
We met through the Paul Hickman.
Match.com.
Not Match.com. Paul Hickman, yes. Paul Hickman, who contributed to Occupants. And basically, Paul and Eric were friends, and I was invited up by Paul to do an interview.
Unfortunately, we're
on
not
his
friends
show.
Anymore. But oh well, no, just kidding.
What? So basically, I was doing an interview in Palo Alto, and Eric Brown happened to be there when we were shooting. I was called, I think, the Got Movie Show. Is that right?
You've already forgotten? Yes, it's called Got Movie. And,
Got Movie.
A series
and
of TV show interviews that he's done. He also has a Got, oh gosh, now I forgot. Got whatever. Got Startup. Yeah, he has Got Startup.
Well, Paul is the one, by the way, who brought me on board for The Assassin's Apprentice. It was his idea. He's the writer. He's also the executive producer. So, just a big shout out to Paul. Because without Paul, I would not have met Eric. And, Eric worked on Assassin's Apprentice, and he was just very – you've been helping to publicize at Florida Supercon, Shriekfest, was it Stan Lee's event?
Yes.
Long Beach? I think you were at Long Beach?
San Diego, Miami, Phoenix. I mean, bunch of them. Yeah.
Wow.
AlienCon in Sacramento.
AlienCon, yeah, that's right. That's the event, by the way, Denise. I was very afraid to take the Shriekfest trophy on the plane with me.
I was so bummed.
Because I thought they would confiscate it. I really thought they would confiscate it.
Why
would
they confiscate something that looks like a big buzzsaw with blood all over it? Why would they confiscate that? I mean, they're more than happy to let knives and guns and things like that go through.
Well, think about this,
right,
Eric.
Denise?
We had five. Eric, we had 5 minutes to spare to reach that screening at AlienCon. So I think if I had brought that trophy, then we would not have made it. That's my guess.
As much flying as Russ does, he still doesn't get TSA pre-check.
I don't. I should.
He's teasing him about it. He should. Could you imagine? You just go right through TSA. Hey, that's maybe a bloody buzzsaw, but I have TSA pre-check. I'm good. And don't ask me to take my shoes off either.
Oh boy.
Oh gosh.
Oh, I did find out, by the way, Denise, if you go on a red eye flight, TSA PreCheck no longer applies because they're closed.
Oh, kidding.
Yeah. Yeah, when I flew out of San Diego, they were also closed in that. Yeah, that was kind of a bummer.
So it's not doesn't help you 100%. Yeah.
Yeah, no, that's true. No, that's true.
So do you have any other questions for me, Eric Brown of Cosmic Cafe Show?
Well, I would maybe, I don't know, maybe it's good to interject since you were talking about the Assassin's Apprentice. This will be a teaser for what's to come. But while we were on set that one of the 3 days, I actually had time to sit down with Marina Sirtis and interview her about the project. And I also was able to get an interview with Bob and or Robert Picardo. And sorry, you know, how we're all like so close now, right?
Oh, boy. Yeah, so
anyway, Russ will be releasing those when they're rolling out the campaign later on. But very, very, very nice people. Both of them. I mean, even though they're, you know, I mean, they're very well accomplished and seasoned Hollywood celebrities. I mean, powerhouses, really, right? And they're just, they're some of the nicest people, and they were friendly to everybody on set. Everybody was just like blown away, like how friendly they were and everything. So it's just so refreshing to see people are just so grounded, and just like yourself, Denise. I mean, when I met you earlier this year at Treat Fest, I was just really, really just blown away. I was just like, wow, she's the founder of this? It's like, you know, this institution in the horror industry, and she's just like such a nice lady. It's like they got really
thank you.
So I could, so you could say that you had a bloody good time, Eric?
I did. I had a bloody good time.
You got your shriek on?
I totally got my shriek on,
yeah.
Dude.
But, yeah, I mean, Eric was mentioning Marina Sirtis. So in this new film, we have Marina Sirtis. She was Counselor Troi on Star Trek's Next Generation.
Yeah.
And, of course, we have Robert Picardo back. And Bob, as you keep saying Bob, that's how he likes to be called. I mean, Bob is just incredible. So I was just so happy to work with Bob again, you know. And we have Tara Page, who's the main actress, Kaylee. She's incredible, stunt actress. And there's Rico Anderson, Luis Carrazo, among, and Jennifer Durst, among many, many others. So we have a stellar cast for this new film too.
And
but
it's completed.
Of course, I still love Occupants.
can I?
Is it completed, or are you in post, or where are you at?
We're in post. We just shot it last weekend. So. I don't know if you can hear it in my voice, but I'm a little bit sick. I think it's because of the shoot.
I'm
but
sure.
But that's okay because, you know, it was a great shoot. You know, it was very different. It's an action film.
Nice.
And I would love to submit, but it's not a horror film. So,
right.
Yeah. But, no, it was a very good experience. And there's a new shoot coming up in January. And
yes.
I think we've been talking about that, Denise, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. And, I just read the script for it actually about an hour and a half ago.
Really?
So it's a new film called Collar. Yeah, it's called Collar. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to butcher the producer writer's name, but I'm going to give it a go. Troi Gabaldon. I don't know if I did that right. But he was also at Shriek Fest.
Troi.
Yeah.
Yes, I think
Troi,
you did. I think it's Troi Gabaldon. I think you got it right.
Okay, Troi Gabaldon, who, you know, I met him at the Downtown Los Angeles Film Festival. We both had a film there playing, and then again at Shriek Fest. And he basically took me aside and says, Russ, I have this project. I already have the money in place, and I would like you to direct it. And I was, like, really honored when he told me that, you know.
Yeah.
It's really the first time somebody offered me. Yeah,
because he's
why
a director as well.
I know. He says, you know, honestly, I don't know if it was the Shriekfest Award. I don't know if it's because of Occupants. I don't know. But he put his faith in me. So I'm putting my faith in him and in the project, and I want it to be fantastic, just like Occupants.
Nice.
So,
nice.
And I want you involved, Denise. I want you involved, Eric. We're all one big happy family.
Woohoo!
Well, I can tell you, Denise, after reading the script, that it's definitely got a lot of great potential and should be very exciting. And people are going to, I think they're going to really be anxious to see it. I think they're going to definitely love this. I think since it's a short, would there be enough time to get it into 2017 Shriekfest, Russ? You're in charge of
It's possible. It's possible. Basically, just like the Assassin's Apprentice, these are what's called, I guess, concept pieces or sizzle reels.
Mm-hmm.
Because Troy has written a feature, or it could be a pilot for a TV series, basically. And that's why I'm attaching myself also, because there's a lot of potential with this new script, just as there is with Assassin's Apprentice and with Occupants, which is why Julia is writing Occupants 2. And, of course, we have this comic book tie-in also. So, you know, I'm thinking what's called transmedia.
Right.
What do you call it? Franchising. So every project I do that I do attach myself to, I am thinking, what's the future? You know, what can we do with this? So I'm actually in the process of trying to get a we're trying to lock the locations right now. It's going to be in Anaheim or Corona. That's where we're shooting. So
cool.
We're in that process now. But it will be late January. We're already set in stone, so... And I'm excited. I love this. You know, I love directing. I love putting things together. I think it's just really fascinating. And, you know, I just really look forward to working with you and working with Eric.
Yeah, I think it's going to be a lot of fun. It's kind of a shocking script, too. You know, you don't know where it's going exactly, and then bam.
No, you don't. Nope. Bam, bam, bam. Well, exactly. You didn't give anything away. But no, it is shocking. And I think that's another thing. You need to push the envelope, right? You need to do something that really makes it stand out. And I think Troy's script can do that.
Yeah,
that's what attracted me to that script. So, I really look forward to working on it. I met our lead actor. His name is Sean, and I met him a couple of days ago.
Yeah.
And, yeah, I'm just really excited.
Troy cast him?
Yeah. Troy knew him, and then he asked me, do you like him? Do you know, you think he's good? And, you know, I looked at his reel. And, you know, this is kind of a lot of dialogue-driven. And, you know, we need somebody who can, you know, not only emote, but could also remember the lines, right? And he did this 9-minute monologue. And I think it played at the Shriekfest on the trailer that Troy submitted.
Oh, yes, so, Satan.
Yes, exactly, Stan A. Satan, Stan A, exactly.
Yeah,
he
Stan
did that
A.
monologue,
yep.
this actor, that's the actor, and he did that 9 minutes without having to take a break. So I'm like, okay, I've took that into consideration because this is going to be dialogue driven. So we need somebody who can emote and can, you know, just do the lines and basically not slow down the day, if you will.
Yeah.
Because, you know, I want to get some really fantastic shots in there. I'm talking to my drone operator friend. I have the DP of Assassin's Apprentice already attached. His name is Ray Carwell. He's incredible. And he's on board. And I'm telling you, I'm going to pull out all the stops. And it's going to look fantastic. I'm going to just make this look so you're going to shriek, Denise, when you see this final product. No pun intended.
That is really, really cool. Well, gosh. Okay, so you're just popping these films out like crazy, Russ.
I, you know, people are presenting me with these opportunities, and I feel very grateful, very honored, you know, and I don't want to let anybody down, and I love doing this, you know. So, you know, just I say bring it on, please, you know, if you have faith in me, then I'm here. I would love to work on future projects. I mean, there's a project called Whisper that Howard Nash is producing. There's another one called The Dollhouse that producer Julie Delosio is producing, and that one's a horror film, by the way, a horror feature.
What?
Going to be shot in Ohio.
Why does that sound familiar to me? Where would I have read about that?
Well, there have been articles written where it shows that I'm already attached. And right now the writer is Emil Harris, who, you know, was the DP editor. He's writing the script for The Dollhouse. So that one I'm very very excited about because I've been to Ohio for the first time ever. When I was promoting Occupants, it was at a I went there for an event called Rathicon, and it's beautiful. I mean, it's such a beautiful place, you know. And I was just like, I flew into Cleveland. We drove down to Athens, which is on the southern border. Cleveland's on the northern border. Then we drove back up, and we went through a town called Macedonia, which is where she lives. And it's just beautiful. And I'm like, this is the potential for – I was telling her, this – I was saying, your town reeks of horror. And I said, in a good way.
She's like, yeah, thanks.
She's like, yes. No, she took it as – I meant that as a compliment. I meant the houses, though. They're like 100 years old or 150, and you can see the age in them. I'm telling you, the creep factor is so there, it's not funny.
Wow,
great place,
a lot of history.
Yeah,
nice.
A lot of history.
Now, earlier you said there were tons of memorable moments on Occupants. Do you feel like sharing a couple?
Sure. Well, since we're going in the horrific aspects, the house was haunted.
Really?
That's what the cast and crew all thought, including Brianna White and Jennifer Durst.
And
so,
why did they think this? What happened?
What happened was there's the room where the bedroom is. People kept hearing things like a cough coming from behind the green screen we set up there. And there was like a bathroom behind there, and there was nobody there. Or the flies. There were flies. There were so many flies. Anyway, they kept dying in that room.
Really? And how did you find this location?
I found it through Airbnb. It's the producer, Howard Nash. I mean, that guy is he's incredible. Anyway, he suggested it. And I happened to look, and I found this house, and I they gave me a FaceTime tour. And I'm going, this is perfect. And then, you know, we basically bought it out for, I think, like 15 days or so.
Wow. And haunted.
Oh, so here's the story. So basically, it was haunted, and I actually lived there. I was living in Neil's work room, basically. You know that one room where he says, Neil is basically like, don't come in here? Well,
sure.
That's where I was sleeping. That was the makeup wardrobe and Russ's bedroom, the director's bedroom. So I was sleeping there, right? And it was great because, you know, I didn't have to commute to the set.
Right.
I was literally living on set. However, for the most of the time, right, there were people there staying with me. My friend Jack Roth, who was still photographer, Eric Kask, who was associate producer, and he's also the editor of the comic book. Anyway, so they were staying with me. However, by day 8, I think I was by myself, right? And by that time, when you direct a film, it can be very stressful. So, you know, basically everybody's saying, this place is haunted and that room is haunted. You know, it was starting to get to me. And it turns out that one of the bathrooms for the crew, it failed. The plumbing failed, and we had to get a porta potty from Andy Gump. So there was only one working bathroom available, which was in the room with the haunted room. So
no one
I had to go
to
the bathroom
it.
At 2 a.m. Everything's pitch black, you know, and I'm 8 days.
And you're by yourself.
Into directing by myself. So here's what I did: I turned on every single light in the house in order to get to the bathroom.
I love it.
I'm not going in that porta potty at 2 a.m. So yeah, I did use the actual bathroom, but I'm telling you, it did get to me, you know. And I also sneaked. I think I sneaked a couple like donuts or something from Craft Services. Don't tell anybody.
I won't tell anybody.
Okay. That's one of the fun stories.
But did you ever think like, okay, I can't spend another night here, even though it's convenient? Or did you just suck it up and stay?
Almost. I bet you if we had shot for another week, I would have left.
Yeah, I bet.
It was getting close. I mean, it does get to you. It's a beautiful house. And don't get me wrong, it's a very beautiful house. But I know, because I asked for the history of the house. It was built in 1920. So the house has history.
Did you look it up?
I looked it up, yeah, and I found out it was a 95-year-old house. It just the interior has been completely remodeled. And I think one reason the plumbing did fail for the bathroom is because it's an old house, because they didn't fix the plumbing. So on the inside, it's beautiful. It's all, like, refurbished, and, you know, they put in new walls and, you know, floors. It's everything. But the house, the actual structure is 95 years old. So, who knows what happened in those 95 years? I don't know.
Couldn't find anything about it, huh?
I didn't want to look. I just know that what the homeowners told me, that's a 95-year-old house. I wouldn't be surprised if maybe a murder happened or something in that house.
Maybe
I just don't
want
to think about it.
Next feature?
You know, that's a possibility. That's it's possible. I'm telling you, I love the horror genre, especially the psychological horror genre. That's my favorite.
Yes,
it's just something
me too.
About
that
it.
That is my favorite. Yep.
Isn't it right? The creep factor is just so there, you know? Because I guess like Ringu, The Ring, you know, something like that, or Insidious.
Mm-hmm.
Those types of films just really, it's very psychological, you know? And it's just like so in your face. But you don't want it to be a cliche. And I think we pulled it off with Occupants, where it didn't turn into a cliche. So basically, we were able to, you know, scare the audience, but in a very natural way, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, I hope we succeeded anyway. And, I just love that stuff. So, you know, I look forward to Occupants 2. I would love to do another psychological one, which The Dollhouse, by the way, falls into.
Nice.
Because Emil Harris, he knows what I like. And, you know, we worked together since Her Night is a film we both did in 2003. So, you know, he and I, we go way back. And he basically knows what I like. And that's what he's writing.
Wow. Now, you, Occupants was like your fourth feature film?
Yeah. It's my fourth.
Easier?
It does and it doesn't. Each film has its own challenges, and that's what makes it exciting. Because I think if you don't learn something new with each film, then there's no point. Then it becomes kind of like a chore, or you're like your eyes are half closed. You're like, okay, action. Okay, cut. Okay, that's so boring. Why am I doing this? So you want it to keep it exciting. So like with The Assassin's Apprentice, we did a lot of drone action. Like drone on drone, like real drone shooting a prop drone. I've never done that before. I think that's fascinating. That's incredibly
fascinating.
Yeah, we worked with Breakaway Glass. I've never done that before. I think that's fascinating. So, you know,
cool.
Stuff like that. Occupants, I've never done a found footage film before. And I thought that was, you know, intriguing. And I wanted to, you know, just tackle that and just, and it brings up challenges. But at the same time, it makes it fun. My first feature film, by the way, was PJ. And I was 29 years old, and I was directing actors like Robert Picardo, John Hurd, who's the Home Alone dad, Vincent Pastore, Glynis O'Connor, Hallie Kate Eisenberg. I mean, talk about a trial by fire. 29 years old, I from Los Angeles. We shot in New York. The only days off was we shot during the winter. You know which days they were? They were Christmas and New Year's. And you know what I did on those days? Laundry. That's it. I did laundry. And that's a challenge. That was a big challenge. I'm telling you, first feature film. I've never worked with name actors before, and I just jumped right in.
Did you? Someone hire you to do it, or did you?
Yeah.
How did it come out?
Howard
so
Nash.
You were hired.
I keep mentioning that name. Producer Howard Nash. And it's because of Girl with Gun, which is a short film I did right before. It also got into San Diego Comic-Con and got a lot of awards and festivals. Anyway, he saw that film, and I guess he was impressed enough to say, Russ, I have a script called PJ. John Hurd's attached. I raised half the funds. You raise the other half, you can direct the film. And I was able to raise the other half from a wonderful gentleman in Tennessee. So yeah, that's how that happened, and I did that, and then one of the executive producers, a minor executive producer on PJ, he had a script called Chasing the Green about his life story. And I guess he was impressed enough to hire me to work with Howard and, you know, to direct that. And that one was my second feature film. Again, I had Picardo and I had Jeremy London from Party of Five and Ryan Hurst from Sons of Anarchy and William Devane. And William Devane was very special to me because he was directed by Alfred Hitchcock. Yeah, the master of suspense. Sir Alfred Hitchcock directed him in Family Plot, his last film. And it was such an honor to work with Bill Devane. I was, like, really blown away. So that was, like, that was an experience. Then I did The Legends of Nathaya with Robert Picardo in a main role. It's like a Princess Bride type story where a grandfather tells his grandson a bedtime story, basically, to help him decide if he's going to live with his mother or father because they're separating.
Aww.
So, and this young kid is incredible, Jared Young. And then there's Jeremiah Says, who played Nathaya, and also Tolly, which is the character in the real life. So that was a great experience. And then, of course, then we did Occupants. So.
Wow. What a career already, and you're just starting.
Well, it's Howard Nash, I tell you. I mean, I love the guy to death. Producer Howard Nash. He's just, without Howard, I wouldn't be here. So, Howard, big thank you.
Yay, Howard, thank you. I'm going to thank you, too, because we love Russ. He's awesome.
Thanks.
Well,
thanks,
okay, so before we run out of time, where can people find you? Where can people see your films? To, you know, get it all out there.
Okay. Well, Amazon Prime, you can see my first three feature films on there. And
yay.
You go to russem.com, R-U-S-S-E-M, M as in Mary.com. That's my website. You can see links to all the films. If you want to see specifically Occupants, we just got distribution through ITN, who basically distributed our other films. So it's not out yet in theaters or DVD Blu-ray, but it will be. You go to occupantsthemovie.com. That's occupants, plural, themovie.com. And you'll see all the information there. We do have a screening coming up at the Idyllwild Film Festival.
That's great, in,
I think, 70 miles north of Los Angeles, going towards Vegas. And that's on Monday, January 6th, if I'm not mistaken, at 6:15 p.m. So if anybody is available, that is our next screening of the film itself. And
go see it.
I'm going to be going,
it.
So... Yeah, exactly. Please come by, and I will be there, and I hope people, just come on up, come on up to me, and I'm sorry, it's January 9th, Monday, January 9th at 6:15 p.m. Yeah.
Okay.
So that's where you can see the film. There's a comic book, that is out. It's really like a promotional tool for the film. You can still buy copies if you go to occupantsthemovie.com. Just go in the lower right corner, and you see the Indiegogo.
That is really cool.
Dave Beatty's the artist. He's incredible. We had Brian Miller, who did the coloring, and Al Sparrow did the lettering and the variant cover. So that's a story in itself. I mean, I can go on, and I know we don't have time. But, yeah, that's where you
can
find out.
I'm going to have to have you back on.
Well, thank you, Denise. I enjoy this, and I hope I'm not rambling or anything. I mean, it's like I have too much information in my brain. It's like, phew, just wants to spew.
No, it's been great. Thank you so much for coming on the show. I don't want us to get cut off because it will automatically cut us off. But thank you. Thank you, Russ. This has been fascinating and wonderful to learn more about you. And Eric, if you're still on the line, thank you for calling in.
Oh, you're most welcome. Thanks for letting
me
ramble on myself.
You're still there.
He's
lurking.
He's lurking in the background.
I'm stalking both of you.
Are you photobombing this call?
I am. Yeah, that's what I'm doing. I'm doing a Russ Emanuel on this call.
All right, guys. I'm going to have to end it because there's another show after this. But thank you, thank you, thank you. And you guys have a great rest of your evening.
You too. Thank you, Denise.
Right.
Thank you, Eric.
Hey, good night,
night,
guys.
Good night.
Good night.
You're listening to Live Paranormal Radio at liveparanormal.com.